Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to him, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many."
Well, good morning. Can I have my welcome to Ben's? It's good to gather this morning to remember those who've lost their lives and given their lives in service of our nation and to protect our freedom, and many others who mourn today and grieve those that they have lost all around the world. So as we begin, I'm going to pray, and then we'll look at these verses together. Our Father, we thank you that as we gather this morning, we are able to look to you and find hope in our sadness. We thank you that as we look out on the world and see so much sorrow and disaster, so much hatred and hurt, as we see the great wars of the past and the wars of the present, we thank you that we can see one who has come to bring peace to all nations, a Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we remember with sadness, as we give thanks for the freedom we have today, and we pray that we might also remember him and look back to him and be helped to find hope for this world, for ourselves, and to know that there is a love that you have given to us that will overcome every evil and wickedness that we see around us in this world. Please be with us this morning and bless us, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the film Hacksaw Ridge tells the true story of Army medic Desmond T. Doss. Now, despite being a conscientious objector, Doss enlisted in the US Army to fight in World War II, determined to serve his nation and to play his part on the battlefields, but not by taking lives, but by seeking to save lives. And as Doss resolved to go unarmed into battle, his fellow soldiers thought that he was a coward, and his commanding officers did everything that they could to stop him from serving. They told him he could do no good without a gun, and he was too weak to serve his nation. But Doss stood on his convictions and was finally posted to Japan when, in April 1945, he served in the Battle of Okinawa. And as the battle took place on Hacksaw Ridge, the Japanese inflicted heavy casualties, and routed, his platoon were ordered to pull back. But as the troops retreated and the injured were left behind for dead, Doss stayed on the front line to rescue the wounded, courageously going again and again onto the battlefields. In one night, he single-handedly rescued 75 men who otherwise would have died. And after returning from war, the man who'd been labelled a coward was welcomed as a hero and awarded the Medal of Honour, not for his strength on the battlefield, but for his selfless service of others. And in the same way, as we look together at Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we see another man committed to seeking the good of his people, a man who, like Desmond Doss, was misjudged by everyone who knew him, as he came in weakness, not with strength. Yet as he gave his life to selflessly serve others, he showed his glory. And today we rightly honour those who've given their lives to serve our nation. We remember those who've given their lives to protect our freedom. But we'll see that Jesus is one who has served us better than any. And so as we look at verse 45, I want us to remember two things about him today. And the first is this. Jesus is the King who stepped down to serve us. Jesus is the King who stepped down to serve us. Let's read the first half of that verse again. Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, the way Jesus describes himself here seems strange. Instead of just saying, I, he describes himself as the Son of Man. Jesus deliberately chooses to call himself this because this is a title with huge significance. In the Old Testament, God promised his people that one day a great king would come to them, a king who would deliver them from their enemies and rule over them forever. And the prophet Daniel, the same Daniel who was in the lion's den, was given a vision of this great king. And we read what he saw in Daniel chapter 7. I'll read. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. You see, Daniel saw in his vision this great king, one who would be given the power and the authority of God himself and rule forever over all. And so as Jesus takes on this title and calls the Son of Man, he's saying, I'm this king. I'm the promised one who will rule with the authority of God. I am the one whose kingdom will stretch out across every nation and never be destroyed. As the Son of Man, this is who Jesus is, the great King of all kings. And as he comes as this king, you might expect him to come to be served. Because as we look out across the nations, as we look back through history, this is what we see of the rulers we know, isn't it? As they rise to power, as they're given authority, they are served by the people they rule over. It's true of the very best of rulers, as their people willingly give their service to them. Just last month, there was the funeral for King Bhumibol of Thailand, a king who was loved by his people and mourned for a whole year. He was a king who ruled for his people and whose death brought great sadness. And the funeral was the highest tribute of a nation that loved to serve him. It's true of the best rulers, but it's also true of the very worst of rulers, whose people have no choice but to serve them and submit. And as we look back through history, We know the stories of the selfless, the selfish, the harsh, the heartless, those who've cruelly enforced their rule over others and have been the cause of great conflicts and sufferings and injustices in our world. Good or bad, we expect kings and rulers and anyone else with authority to be served by the people they come to. But Jesus couldn't be more different. Look at verse 45 again. Jesus says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served. Despite being the greatest king, despite commanding the authority of heaven itself, as Jesus entered our worlds, he did not come as a king to be served. He came instead to serve. I'm sure we've all seen this picture, this poster from World War I. Kitchener needs you. As Britain's men were called out to fight in the Great War. And as Kitchener and others led the British Army in World War I, they did so from the comfort of their military boardrooms, whilst the troops sat cold and wet in the trenches. As they stood back protected, they gave their orders for the troops to obey, whilst their soldiers on the front line obediently served them, no matter what the cost. And I think so many people think that this is the kind of king that Jesus is. Some kind of divine Lord Kitchener who is constantly saying, I need you. Do this, do that. Who gives out instructions, who hands out the orders, but never gets his hands dirty himself. Is that how you see him this morning? Perhaps he feels like a distant commander who demands so much from you. Always asking for more, but never there to help. Perhaps he feels like a harsh general who barks out command upon command. That you try so hard to serve, but you can never meet his standards. Or perhaps you just think he's a ruler who'd never be interested in you. He's got no time for your struggles, for your difficulties, but is only interested in his agenda. So often, we feel like Jesus must want us to serve him. But this verse shows how wrong we are. You see, although Jesus could have remained distant, asserting his authority from on high, although he could have used his power for himself to serve his own purposes, Jesus is a king who stepped down to serve us. Becoming a man, he joined us in the trenches of this broken world. Standing shoulder to shoulder with us, he came to feel our pain, to know our sorrow. Humbling himself, Jesus stepped down, not for us to serve him, but for him to serve us. And so this morning, see him rightly. Jesus is not asking for more from you. He's not asking you to try harder to be good for him. He's not asking you to work harder at being religious. He doesn't want more of what you can give or do for him and his cause. No, Jesus has come as king to serve, to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And we see in the rest of this verse that although Jesus is a king who steps down to serve us, he is also a king who steps forward to save us. You see, although Jesus came as a king to serve us and joined us on the front line, that's only the beginning of what he came to do for us. Let's read the end of verse 45. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus did more than just sympathize with our troubles. More than just help us with our problems. He came to die, to serve his people by giving his life for them. And this is why when Jesus says this, he is on his way to Jerusalem. Look up to verse 33 again. Jesus explains to his disciples what he is doing. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." You see, Jesus knows that the path he is walking will lead to his death. He knows that in Jerusalem, he must die. Because as king, this is his mission. This is how he will serve his people. And although the disciples hear what Jesus says, they do not understand what is going on. In verse 35, James and John come to Jesus saying, "We want you to do whatever we ask." And although they rightly see Jesus as a king who's come to serve, they don't yet see what kind of king he is. You see, they want a king who has come to serve their agenda, who does what they want him to do and leads them to greatness and glory. They don't want a king who's condemned and mocked and killed in weakness. They want a king who reigns in power for them. And in the same way, aren't we like them? Don't we so often want a Jesus who serves our agenda? A Jesus who will do whatever we ask him to do for us. whose job is to give us what we want when we want it and never say no. Whose job is to make our lives more comfortable, to keep trouble and suffering away. Whose job is to get us where we want to be and serve the purpose for our life. Like the disciples, so often we want Jesus to serve us the way that we want him to serve. But Jesus has come to do so much more than this for us. He didn't come to serve us as we want. He came to serve us as we need by giving his life for us. Because although there are many things we might want Jesus to do for us, there is one great problem that we desperately need him to help us with. This is the problem that lies behind every other problem that we know. We see it in our worlds as it produces war, sex scandals, injustice, and violence. We feel it in our lives as it leads to pain and sorrow and suffering and hurt. And if we're honest, we know it all too well ourselves as we see the same problem in our lives. Because this great problem is the reality of our sin. And although we can point our finger at the evil in the world that we see and condemn the wrong that we see in the lives of others, we don't have to look far to see the same hate, the same hurt, the same anger in our words and actions that is there in the worst of wars. We don't have to search deep to see the same selfishness, the same greed and pride in our hearts that we see out there in the world. Because the truth is that every one of us has turned from God, our Creator. And although we live in his world and enjoy the life that he has given to us, our lives show that we do not love him. Our hearts show that we have rejected him. As we ignore him, dismiss him, and push him to the corners of our lives. And this is why we so desperately need Jesus to help us. Because as we sin against God, God will not just overlook our rejection of him. As a just and a holy God, he must punish our wrong and deal with our rebellion. And the price of a life lived in hostility to God is eternity of God's hostility towards us. You see, sin has made us God's enemies. And as God's enemies, we rightly deserve his anger. Yet when we deserve to be left alone to face that anger without hope of escape, verse 45, Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. And as Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price of our freedom by dying in our place. Now it was July 1941 in Auschwitz concentration camp. And early one morning, the prisoners were commanded to line up in front of the soldiers. And the commander told them that in the night, three men had escaped. And as a result, 10 more would be executed to prevent more escapes. And as the guards walked down the line, choosing at random who would die, one man, Francis, was selected. And as the guards dragged him forwards, he cried out, begging for mercy. "Not me, I have a wife. I have children. You can't kill me." The guards ignored his pleas, but one man stepped forward. Maximilian Kolbe, an old Polish priest who had recently arrived at the camp. And as he stepped forward, he said, "I will take his place. Take my life and let him live." And so the guards took him to be killed instead, and Francis's life was saved. And in the same way, this is what Jesus has done for us. Although Maximilian Kolbe was prepared to die for an innocent man, Jesus was prepared to die for his enemies, for sinful people like you and like me. You see, at the cross, Jesus stepped forward to save us. As he offered himself for us, he willingly took our sin and our guilt, claiming it as his own. He walked out alone onto the battlefields to place himself in the firing line of God's anger. And standing in our place, God's judgment rained down on him, and he absorbed it in full. As he died, he paid for us the ransom to free us from our sin. And after giving his life in battle, this king did not stay dead. Having paid for our sin, he defeated death itself and rose again to life. And with his resurrection, he won for us an armistice with God, that forgiven and accepted, we might have unbreakable peace with him. And so this morning, this is what he offers to each of us. Forgiveness for our sins, if we'll let him step forward to pay. Shelter from God's anger, if we'll allow him to take our place. Peace with God and hope beyond the grave, if we'll turn and put our trust in him. Friends, on this Remembrance Day, as you see all that Jesus has done for you, it's not enough just to stand and pay your respects to him. It's not enough just to honor his sacrifice. No, he demands more than just poppies and silence and commemoration. As the king who stepped down to serve us, as the king who stepped forward to save us, Jesus deserves everything. All of us. As the words of our closing hymn put it so well, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Well, let's pray together. Father, we admit our sin. We acknowledge our wrong. We know that before you we are guilty because we have turned away from you. We've rejected you as God and lived our lives for ourselves and turned against those around us and expressed that in all our wrong. Father, we acknowledge that we deserve your judgment and that without your help, we would have no hope. But we thank you that on this Remembrance Day, we can remember a Saviour who stepped down to serve us in our needs. A Saviour who stepped forward to give his life to save us. And we thank you that when we deserve to pay, he paid for us. Father, if we've never believed that's true before, if we've never received that gift before, please help us today to allow him to step forward and pay for us, to win us peace with you once and for all. Father, we thank you again for him, and we pray that we might be encouraged in the truth of his sacrifice today and the great hope it brings for us and our world, because we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, we're going to close our service by singing a wonderful old song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, that helps us to reflect on some of the things we've been hearing this morning. So let's stand together and close our service with this song.